Hey guys, Shane here. I just wanted to say thank you, as always, for listening to the Crow Pod. And if you like what we do here and want to help us out, you can go to anchor.fm/crowpod and click on the support button. You get three different options there, 99 cents, $4.99, and $9.99 monthly contribution. Anybody does the $4.99 level, you get one live read per month on air, or you know, like on the main show for your business or charity or whatever you got going on. If you do the $9.99, we'll give you a live read every single episode of the main show. So every single week on the main Crow Pod, we'll give you a shout out for your business or charity or whatever you got going on. So just like I said, you go to anchor.fm/crowpod, click on support, and we'll get that message out to all of our listeners every single week. And that goes out not only on the Crow Pod Network, but on the Heart and Hand Network as well. Of the Crow Pod, and joining me, Shane, of course, David Edgar. Hello, David.
100 episodes, and I coughed there during the introduction. So, you know, that's us off to a fucking belter of a start this week, eh?
You know what today is?
What is today?
Today is the 9th anniversary of the show.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Didn't get good till 8 years.
that's questionable. Jesus Christ.
Apart from that. Apart from that one time I was on, it didn't get good to now, but I think we're doing all right for a wee show that you and I brought back, basically to have an excuse to make time to talk to each other once a week.
And we found Todd. Hi, Todd.
Hey!
Lads, I just you know, the bizarre thing, I sometimes love when people get into, well, I always love if people get in touch and they say, hi, I listen to your show, you know, in Australia or New Zealand or whatever. I was walking into Hamden on Sunday, the one and only highlight of the day, just about a gentleman came up to me and he said, hi, you know, David, really like the site, really like the stuff you do. I said, thank you very much, it's very kind, which it is. It's always very kind when a stranger approaches you and doesn't want to punch you in the face, more of that. And he said, you know what my favourite show is? Now, we do a lot of shows, don't we? Right. A lot on Heart and Hand. We do it a lot. Shane even does extra shows for his own Heart and Hand. And we do a lot of shows, extra shows on the Crow Pod, you know, music, everything. We cover the lot. And he said, it's the Crow Pod. And I said, all right, thank you. I said, why? And he went, the three of you absolutely cracked me up. And I said, I love people with low standards.
Ah, beautiful.
That definitely wasn't our new friend Murdoch then.
How the fuck's he? Is he fucking okay? What the?
You know, the two listeners, one stopped is the way to go. And thank you for doing that, mate. You were the one bright spot of an otherwise horrific day. And then another who pulled us up for swearing, which
you have to take the crunchy with the smooth.
I actually get this quite a lot on Heart and Hand and have done since it started. People saying, well, you know, I can't play it to my kids. And I'm like, well, it's not really for your kids.
Exactly. How come I can't show snuff films to my children?
it's an adult site, and occasionally we're going to talk about adult things. And I actually always put a warning on this show to say adult themes and strong language.
That's explicit on every podcast service.
I promise you, mate, in return, I won't go to, you know, like a soft play and go, fuck, cunt, bugger. I accept would be offside.
Right. There's a sentiment that we have here, which I hold near and dear to my heart in sort of other avenues of my life. And one being, the Write 'Em Up show, which we just did just did live finally for the first time in a year and a half, and it was great, and I can't thank everyone enough for coming out to it. But there was one time I had this guy on, an Irish comic, moved to Toronto, and Cormac McGuinness was his name. You could not get more Irish.
That's Irish. That is an Irish name, yeah.
Right?
Unless he had been called something like Donegal Dublin, then
right. No. Exactly. Exactly.
Cormac, what's your name? Donegal, okay. McGuinness.
Right. So I invite him on the show, and I'm doing my usual thing before the show, 15 minutes before, which is, where the fuck's my audience? Where the fuck are my artists and writers? So I'm doing this, and I walk into the showroom. We haven't opened yet, and Cormac is standing there, and it's that stereotypical thing of guy staring in a panicked look at an empty page with pen in hand. It's just, he is in four-wheel lock. So I'm like, it's showtime soon. So I'm like, Cormac, what's wrong? Are you okay? And he's like, I don't know what jokes to do. So in my usual helpful way, I say, I would pick the funny ones. and he goes, I kind of want to do my gay material, but I'm worried about it. And I went, do your fucking gay material. Yes. Do that. Like that. Yes. This is
Canada.
What? Why do you think you're on? It's legal here. I don't know if you noticed, right?
And it's quite a metropolitan city.
Yes. It's of all the cities you could give this a shot in, this is probably it, right?
It's a good one, yeah.
Don't do it in Grand Prairie. You might, eschew that one, but like in Toronto, you're fairly safe. And he just looked at me with this really earnest face and went, well, I'm worried about your audience. And I looked at him and went, fuck my audience. Like, if they can't handle gay material, they're not my audience. I want you to challenge them. I want comics to come up and challenge. And so he did, and he blew the roof off the place. Like, another example of that is there's a guy by the name of Marty Topp, who is a performance artist, comedian, sketch artist, performer in Toronto. I was like, this guy needs a place on the show because he's stupid. And close the show with him, and he pulls out his keytar and does for the audience three songs about having sex with dolphins.
Yeah.
Three different songs. Oh, I forgot to mention my wife was in the audience. And I also forgot to mention that she's sitting with my parents. I also forgot to mention my dad is a retired minister. So all of these things came together for a very long and awkward dinner afterwards, but it was fine.
See, I, 9 years of the show now. Mm-hmm. What the fuck did you think this program was?
I think people kind of stumble across it and they think, oh, okay, and then they do have no idea. And this is the point of the show. Some people will absolutely just not get it, think it's pointless and a waste of time, and that's cool. That is absolutely cool. The people who get it, though, love it, and that's the point. You know, and that has been one of the rules of Heart and Hand over the years, is that I put stuff out, and if two people absolutely love it, then that's cool, and it's long as I'm one of them, and that's always been the rule. It's never been about, you know, we could have meetings and we could all sit down and say, right, that worked, so we'll do more of that and we'll promote it, and fuck that, that's just not who we are about. I found a more Irish name, incidentally. I found a more Irish name.
Okay.
Mayor Joseph Fitzgerald O'Malley Fitzpatrick O'Donnell the Edge Quimby.
There we go.
I
do hope he speaks only in the last part of that name's accent.
Yeah, that's just he speaks in a Boston accent.
I was hoping I could do the gay material.
he's a hero of mine. I like his moral. Yeah, I like his moral compass. but no, it was a bit of a hellish week. And of course, what always happens?
I don't think my Sunday could have gotten much worse.
I'm about to turn the floor over to, because my complaints will pale into insignificance. But whenever
we didn't do well in a cup tie. Sure, you know, there's people complaining about someone's shoes, but assault is pretty cool. Let's do that.
We'll get onto that. Yeah. But I have brought a bit actually to cheer you up later. But I'll do my complaints and then, you know, I'll turn the floor over to you and just sit back with a cocoa. And I've got, you know, a cold compress. So, Sunday Rangers are appalling. I mean, just my God, that was an absolute What? Bin fire?
I didn't even watch it. I was on a train writing and editing a screenplay that was due at midnight. And so I had, you know what, I'll watch it on Rangers TV later. But curiosity got the better of me going, I wonder if my bet went through. And I opened my phone and went, nope. And then I was listening to you two on Twitter. I'm like, I'm going to give this a pass. And then I saw the interview. And I was like, fuck me. Now I totally have to watch it. So
a lot of people are defending that interview, which was bizarre to me. But so I did the game. And genuinely, you're shocked at how bad we were in that first half. And then, you know, you come out. Then all the trains are cancelled back to Glasgow. So that leaves me with a nice wee 3 mile walk, which I actually did. And I realised this later without looking up once, because I put my head up, my hood up, you know, and I had the scarf around my face. And I just basically watched the shoes of the guy in front of me all the way back to Glasgow. Didn't look up once. So I'm sitting on the train and then, you know, next day and everything. And what happens is when Rangers lose like that, everybody gets it, including us. So Rangers can't defend a set piece because we don't ask penetrating enough questions at press conferences, apparently. And it's like, that's not the reason, lads. You know, and I get, but everybody, Jimmy Bell gets it. The lady that makes the tea gets it. It's just, you know, everybody, it's a bloodletting exercise. And it's kind of water off a duck's back to me at this stage. But, you know, some of the younger guys are like, ah, but I didn't say that. And I'm like, I know. It's not you. It's the fact that Rangers were 3 down in half an hour yesterday that caused this. So I'm thinking, I'm having a shit day. It also turns out, and long-term listeners will know how painful this is, Rangers are playing Hibs on Wednesday, the 1st of December, which is the same night I was supposed to be going to see the Muppets. And now I can't go. And now I can't go because I'm going to Easter Road. So I'm having a shit day at the realisation that this was the case.
Yeah.
I will turn the floor over to my good friend, Mr. Shea.
Yeah, so I thought I was gonna have to work. So, you know, I got up, watched the match.
Regretted that.
Yeah, don't really want to say much more about it. So I headed in, because there was like a showdown to some country motherfucker I've never heard of was playing. So I thought we were gonna be busy. I get there, it's not. So fuck it. I'll just hang out and have a beer and watch the Sunday afternoon NFL games, you know?
Not bad. Wait, it's Sunday?
That's fine. It was all right. It's all right. But then, I got on into the evening, and this gentleman came in who isn't supposed to be there in the first place. So I walk around, you know, to the back of the bar. And I'm like, you know, what are you doing here, my man? Oh, don't worry about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, because I don't think you're supposed to be in here. He's like, I don't need you. I need that bitch to serve me. I said, well, her name isn't that bitch. You know, her name is not that bitch. So me back out from behind the bar, like, all right, let's get the fuck out. And I'm just walking the guy, you know, guiding him toward the door, as it were. And about 8 feet from the door, he just turned around and threw a sucker punch and hit me right in the fucking eye.
Correct.
Which is still swollen to shit. It looks a lot worse today than it did yesterday.
Yeah.
It looked pretty bad yesterday in Old Field.
Yeah.
No,
it's so, much worse.
You kind of look like one of those patients that Dr. Death worked on. I'm just getting through that documentary.
His eye looks like a sausage roll that's been squished in a bag. And look, I am simultaneously not looking forward to seeing your eye today and looking forward to seeing your eye today.
It's much more purple today.
Let's use it as a show picture today.
Yes. Okay, your eye has gone third top, it looks like.
Yeah. See, the sympathy that you got from our listeners was
across the board.
Was shocking. I was appalled by you lot. Right. You should all have been like fucking Florence Nightingale, right? And rallying round, there should have been promises of support, like round robin, we're here for you, Shane. And instead, what did you do? You made jokes at Shane's expense.
That's our job.
Yes, like Superintendent Chalmers. He's in there crying like a little girl. Do you find that funny? No, he wasn't really. He was basically like fucking John Wick yesterday.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So yeah.
I would not want to be that guy, quite frankly.
Right. He'll probably later this week, you know.
Shane, don't confess to a crime on an audio show.
Okay. Well, I'm taking them a lovely dinner, and we're going to extend the dialogue about the.
I used to watch LA Law, my friend, right? So I'm actually a half-qualified lawyer.
There you go.
And no, I watched every series of LA Law, mate. That's got to be
Night Court, right? Same reason, continue.
Same reason, there you go. So me and him could, you know, between us, we're legally qualified, in a sense. And one of the things I always say to my clients is, if you're going to commit a crime, don't record yourself saying you're going to commit a crime and then upload it to thousands of people on the internet.
Also never email. Never, ever, ever send the emails.
Just in general, that's a good rule.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, in general, emails are... What I always like about these email scandals, I suppose is the word. And it happened to me in a workplace one time where someone got fired for the emails they were sending from the company account. And they were shocked. They were like, they read my emails. I'm like, yes. Can they do that? Yes.
Yes.
Server.
I was like, did you use, you know, Gmail or Hotmail or something? And they went, no, I used my company one.
Oh, no.
You fucking idiot. You're going to get fired. And you deserve to be fired for your stupidity rather than...
Yeah. So, who's at that one tech... there's a company over here. I forget the guy's name now. But they, you know, got done for... fraud and fuck knows what else, but like, the email that pinged him for the government, the subject was time to clean up those files. Time to delete evidence is what we're doing.
That got a lot of the ones Enron and Arthur Anderson for same thing. You know, that did get a lot of those guys where they were sending emails basically saying about how they were going to delete illegal emails and which ones they were, which probably made it a little bit easier for the...
Yeah, no, you can track them down quicker, I think.
Yeah, I think so, you know.
I had a similar thing to Shane, except it was much more dramatic. It was kind of like The Matrix, the beginning part, not the waking up in a pod part, where... I was doing this tech writing job for this huge company, and suddenly I've never seen security before. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And they marched down to one of the cubicles past me in the area where the developers are, and they just grab this guy and frog march him out, barely giving him time to get his bag, because apparently what had happened is they were monitoring in the IT department all the bandwidth. What was going on is like, we are losing so much bandwidth. What the fuck is going on? And then they, you know, did the land scan and found it to this one computer who had created a remote desktop and was basically running his home business off of their property.
Ah.
And didn't think he would get caught. It was like, for obviously. Someone who's in IT.
Yeah, no, it's so bizarre. Our friend Gail Shane.
Yeah.
Was saying, you know, back in the early days of... I suppose, you know, internet becoming more popular. The follow website was not quite, forums weren't quite as developed yet. And you used to get an email for every post, right? Which sounds, you know, you can imagine it now, but back then there was like 30 of us on it, right? So it wasn't quite as bad as that might sound.
I remember that.
She got pulled in by her IT department to say, why are you receiving like 900 emails a day? And she's like, all right, yeah, sorry. Because it was using up all the bandwidth, and they're like, well, we can't cope with this. But early days of the interwebs.
Yeah. I want to go back to Shane's guy behind the bar. Because I also had an intruder this weekend.
Did you?
So if we, this is more of a cautionary tale to anyone who's thinking of starting stand-up comedy, or, you know, getting involved in the local comedy scene, and you're just wondering where to start, or at the very least you've heard me go listen to my stuff and go, fuck, I can do better than Van Allen. Any of these things are valid. And so I'm running my show, and because we still have COVID restrictions in Toronto, we haven't got a full capacity room, they're saying, you know, keep the number of people you have in the green room to a minimum. Okay, just because we're accessing the stage. So a lot of the comics were like, okay, you know what? When I'm done my time, I'll actually go and watch the show. I'll just go get a drink. So they really kind of did. They were really good at self-policing and keeping like two people to the room, which I thought was really great. And I get off stage after introducing someone, and this guy is just in the room. And I went, hello, because he's not on the show. He's like, yeah, I'm here to support my friends. It's like, okay. And at this point, I'm just kind of like wanting the show to run. I don't want to come off as a prick. If one of their friends is in the room, I don't want to offend them. I won't ever have a good show. I'm like, fine, just sit there and that's fine. By the way, no mask. I'm doing something else and he comes over. He goes, just so you know, I just moved into town. I'll be here for about a year. And I'm like, great. Great news. Cool. That's like, yeah. I had an omelet for lunch. Are we giving out details that are irrelevant to the other person? Is that what we're doing? But I went, no, that's fine. That's great. And he goes, then later on, he goes, how do I get on your show? I'm like, oh, fuck. Are you kidding me? He's like, just message me and it'll be fine. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm dealing with something else. And he taps me on the shoulder. Yes. And he shows my Instagram account and goes, is this you? Yes, that's me. Just fine. And then we're just trying to wrap up the show because they're on such tight schedules for cleaning and stuff like that. The show has to end after 75 minutes. We're already going to blow over that. I've just brought the last guy up on the stage and he comes to me and goes, could I get 5 minutes? And I went, we are so tight. And I'm like, I've never fucking seen this guy. I am never going to see this guy because fuck, and hear me out, you. I didn't want you in my room. I don't want you on my show. I'm not going to look at your link for the fucking show that you've done in some open mic, motherfucker. Leave me alone. It's never happened. So.
Well, you know, the ironic thing is it's 25 years this week since Ali Dyer, George Weah's cousin, was put on the pitch by Southampton based on. So that would have been quite similar if you'd done what Graham Souness did and just chucked someone you had never seen based on a very short conversation.
Well, here's the thing. If I had time, if I honestly had time, I would, because the theme of the show is I've got writers writing roast jokes and then I read out the roasts. If I had the time, I would have gone, oh yeah, let me put you up. You know, if time was no object, so ladies and gentlemen, do you have time for one more? Here's a special guest. Here's, what's your name again, pal? And then I would say it because I did not remember his name.
Cormac McGinnis.
Yeah, yeah. Cormac McGinnis. No, he's a good guy. He's good. The blah, 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 blah Quimby fellow. And then
Shane, we cannot have criticism of a gay Irishman on this show.
I'd really rather we issue that. But before I left the stage, I would lean into my writer's desk and go, fucking eviscerate this guy. And then leave, you know.
No, it's complete nonsense. But speaking of complete nonsense, see what I did there? This might cheer you up a little bit, Shane. I know that both of you
go for it.
Yeah. I doubt it. Well, not with that attitude.
Jesus. Turn that frown upside down, sunshine.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's not a smile. That's an upside down frown.
Yeah. Turn that puffy, really bruised frown upside down.
That's always great when breathing hurts. You know, that's when you know you're having a good day.
You must be used to that by now. You have practice. But I know that both of you gentlemen are fans of the television show The Sopranos.
Oh, very much.
Yes, and I know that a lot of our listeners are fans of the popular television show The Sopranos, but for those of you who are not, the popular television show The Sopranos is about the mafia, and in particular a mafia don, I think it's fair to say, a leader of one of New Jersey's five families, right? Mm. And it's not particularly glamorous, it's fair to say. It's not The Godfather. You know, they don't wear sharp suits and... You know, make high-level business decisions. It's gritty, it's real, and it's down on the ground.
There's a surprising amount of beige in his wardrobe.
There is a lot of beige in
his
wardrobe. And for a guy who wears Hawaiian shirts, he's not especially jolly. It's fair.
Right.
But on Screen Rant yesterday, which is a website which I occasionally peruse, and a lot of people do for their website, The Sopranos, 9 things about Tony that have aged poorly.
Only 9?
His behavior towards his children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, right?
Sure.
8. Only 8. of his worst traits, by the way, his racism. Now, I don't remember his racism being considered a plus point when The Sopranos aired, but still. Right. 7, he backstabs his own friends.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, you know, in the mafia, these guys are so trustworthy that it's a shocker that that would happen.
And it's true, it hasn't aged well now, because I remember about 10 years ago when I was backstabbing my friends, they just laughed it off.
Yeah, that
it was fine.
Do you remember that there was that song, The Backstabbers? It was all about how great Backstabbers were. This one I don't understand on any level.
High fives across the board.
He creeped on his imaginary neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's basically criticizing him for fancying someone in his imagination.
Yes.
We are getting into thought crime. 5, five, his constant adultery. Again, you know, when I got married for the first time 15 years ago, adultery was frowned upon.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 4, his domestic violence. And again, you know, I'm going to have to play the back in my day.
Right.
You didn't get, you know, like the Hero of the Year awards on ITV at Christmas didn't feature best wife beater. Mm-hmm. It was not considered a good thing.
I used to say to my wife this horrible, horrible joke, and she knew it was a joke, but I stopped doing it because people in public could overhear us. And I would say, you know, sweetheart, I would never condone domestic violence. Oh, I understand it, but I would never condone. And then she'd ha, ha, ha. And then I was like, when I saw people pushing their carts away quickly, I was like, oh, maybe that isn't an outside joke. Maybe
Sally and I would do that kind of pretend to hit each other thing, right, mm-hmm. occasionally. And one time I threatened to, and Murdoch should not listen to this fallen part, I said, I'm going to boot you in the fanny,
there
right? And I turned round and pretended to kick her in the fanny, but unfortunately, she was closer than I anticipated.
Oh, no.
And I caught her the way that Albert's caught that free kick against Celtic in 97. And it made just the best sound you've ever heard in your life, right? And I was like, Jesus, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, I'm fine. She goes, we don't have much equipment down there. So, right, 3. So this is actually, remember, this is worse than his racism and his domestic violence. He bullies his staff.
Oh, come now.
Yeah.
Come now.
2. His bad temper. Such a drawback when you're a mafia killer.
Right. Yes.
Drawback. And 1, the worst thing about Tony Soprano, who up until this point, up until this article, you all thought was basically Mahatma Gandhi.
Right.
His thoughts about Dr. Melfi.
Oh, dear.
Now, to quote the great Norm MacDonald, some people say the worst thing about Tony Soprano were his thoughts about Dr. Melfi, but I disagree. Oh, you disagree? Yeah, I thought it was all the murdering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, the thing that really didn't age well about that was James Gandolfini, because he's dead.
He's dead. So, yes.
You really are in a bad mood.
David, I have to ask you, which website is that from? Is that from anyoneWithAFuckingKeyboard.com? Like, where was this?
That was from a writer called I mashed my keyboard with my forehead. But look, I get that you do things for clicks. I do. I honestly do. You do things for clicks. It's fine. It's part of the job. I get it. But you don't humiliate yourself. And to turn around and say, you know, like, you know, 10 years ago, domestic violence was considered a party event. 10 years ago, we used to have racism in the Olympics. It's not true. It's very stupid. Mm-hmm. And you just look stupid when you do it. But it's part of this thing about, you know, people who just fundamentally don't get anti-heroes, right? It's like in Goodfellas, there are bits that are cool. You know, see at the start when they're going to the nightclubs and they're getting whisked past the line and there's singers on stage. All of that looks cool and the life they have looks great. See, by the end of it, I didn't want to be a gangster.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there are drawbacks.
There are drawbacks. That's a point.
Yeah, there's shortcomings in there.
You like
when you sit down, you're doing your business plan of being a mobster. You do that two-column exercise where you've got all kinds of the good things on the side.
The SWOT analysis.
Yes. And then you have a couple, and you're really racking your head for the cons, and you just look at that list, and you could just go, I know I'm missing something. Did I ever tell you guys we had a mobster in the family? Did I ever tell this story?
No.
Well, on the wife's side?
Yeah, well, certainly not on mine.
That is a stereotype, Shane. You just immediately assumed that it was the Italian that was in the mafia.
Gay Irish people, now I'm making fun of it.
You were right. It turns out it is the Italian.
By the way, dead to rights. Dead to rights, absolutely. But I think the problem with most racism is that you're just jumping to the chase. I think everyone wants to hear the setup before the punchline is blurted out. But yes, so...
I just love the idea of, like, your racism could have worked, but right.
Could have. You just needed a proper setup. That's
all. You were just too premature. You just, you know, you suffered from premature race ejaculation.
Yes, yes. The
shitty move. Fuck off.
I just got done. Side note, I just got done listening to Mark Maron's cancel culture comedy episode of WTF, which is fantastic. Long story short, if you don't want to listen to it, you can say anything you want. Just get ready for the fucking fire hose. That's all that is. So because to Shane's point, I am no stranger to stereotyping. So every time I would, when I was in the dating process with my good lady wife, I'd be over the families for dinner and stuff like that, and I'd say, hey, so do we have any mobsters in the family? And they go, shut up. There's nothing. It's like, no. Okay. Everyone asks that. No, we don't. Mm. We don't. So we go to this family wedding in Montreal, which, just so you know, my phone often autocorrects to Mobtreal. it's a known paisan.
It's a destination.
It's a destination. It's the New Jersey of, it's pretty, but it's like, there's mobsters is what I'm saying. So we're getting ready and everyone's getting dressed for the wedding and stuff like that. And so I just go, you know, usual jokey Todd. So am I going to meet the family mobster today? And cause there's a big wedding, like 400 people. And this is the exact wording my mother-in-law said to me, exact phrasing. We don't have any, well, there's one. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be there. Don't worry about it. That was the exact phrasing.
That is super. Don't worry about it. Yet. And of course, now all you can think about is.
Now, that's all I'm thinking about. Right?
Yeah. So, is it you? Is it
right. It's like, you know, they zoom in on the dog with the shifty eyes because no one sees the dog.
That's Todd in the wind.
And. So then we go to this thing and everyone's like loading up on the wheel of parm and, you know, there's antipasto and stuff like that. And everyone, you know, all the manja cakes like myself have to be told, slap on the wrist, don't overload now. There's five courses coming. So it's like, okay, fine. And so we're all kind of sitting down, just having drinks and stuff like that. And suddenly there's a bit of a hush and this guy in sunglasses kind of walks through and I go, can I ask? If that's, and they go, shut up, it's him. So I'm like, fucking yes, here we go. Cut to end of the evening, and it's open food, open bar, the whole bit. So I'm about, I don't know, 12 Negronis in at this point. And it's near the end of the night. They've just brought out there's a poutine station, you know, because it is still Montreal after all, right? Make your own poutine. And so, done that, grabbed a sandwich. I've got my kind of last drink into me, so I'm just going outside for some air to, you know, just before we leave. And I end up talking to this guy, and we're just having
you
a great
went
old
out
time.
Looking for him. You lied.
Did not. Did not. Did not.
You fucking
did
dead.
Not.
Shane, who do you believe here, me or him?
I'm with Dave.
I was not looking for any bother.
We gotta trust our friend, I guess. Yeah. You know.
I was not looking for bother. I just end up talking to this guy because my cousin was also talking with him. So I was like, oh, there's my cousin. Oh, here's this guy. Oh, okay. And I think by this point, actually, just because of the course of the evening, by this point, I had kind of forgotten who he was. And so that explains, I think, to me why I'm talking to him the way I am and stuff like that. And my then girlfriend, now wife, sees me here and goes, okay, bye everyone, bye. And she's pulling me away. And as we're walking to the car, she goes, what were you guys talking about? And I went, I don't know. I'm kind of tippy. I don't guy stuff. I don't know why. And she's like, all I heard you last say to him was, yeah, yeah, whatever you need, drop it off at the house.
Jesus. not a good offer.
Yeah. So happy ending to the story. He has since been assassinated. So we're in the clear. We're in the clear.
Oh, man, that is absolutely magnificent.
He's sideways, Todd's in-laws have aged poorly.
I must admit, right, I don't do national stereotyping, but it doesn't surprise me that fucking Canadian does. Typical of them. Typical. But it's just one of these concepts that I can't get my head around, of this modern thing of hey, see this thing that you used to like, I'm going to write an article about how it's not very good for hate clicks,
right?
You're like, is that when you were growing up, is that what you wanted to do with your life? Really, did you think, you know, it'd be good to kind of tell people that something that they really like that doesn't harm me in any way isn't very good? Now look, I've got every right, I think, to tell people about Queen, you know, the right. Bad. But do I do it? No, I keep it to myself, right? Because I'm content enough to know that
you don't
right.
Keep it to yourself. You literally just brought it up right now.
Well, all right, okay. Well,
you bring it up out of nowhere.
Right, okay. That's one way of looking at it, right? I'll grant you, right? But man has a point. Shit. I've just been outlooked by a one-eyed man. Well, it was my birthday on Saturday.
Yes, it was.
Happy birthday. My birthday on Saturday, and I turned,
captain, my captain.
Thank you, and I turned 44, and it made me realise that I can't have a birthday on a Saturday ever again, because clearly I'm 44. I must have had more birthdays on a Saturday than the two I can remember, but there are only two that I can remember. One of them was this one, my 44th, where on the 21st Rangers went out and played like that. The other one was my 21st birthday. I tell a lie, actually, because my birthday was on Friday this year, right, the 20th. But on the Saturday, Rangers went to Parkhead. I got a ticket from a friend, Advocates first season, and we got fucked 5-1. So from now on, next year, Rangers, let's work out when my birthday is, and you cannot play on the 21st of November. All right? It's just you can play the 22nd, the 19th. You can play on my birthday. You can play the 20th. You cannot play the day after my birthday because you ruin it. Completely spoil it for me.
Then we get the double whammy of Gio's fucking shoes,
right? Okay.
He haven't impressed you at all.
Can I know I'm gonna sound quite contrarian here, but have we run out of problems? Like, have we literally run out of problems that his shoes are the big deal breaker here, honestly?
Todd, I got abuse yesterday because I didn't ask Steven Gerrard hard enough questions, and that's why Connor Goldson can't head the fucking ball anymore. So I think it's fair to say that it's like I said earlier, when we are getting beat, everything is a huge difficulty for everybody. And look, I know what it's like. I mean, I'm sitting on the train, right, on the way home, in a bright fucking orange. I think we discussed this, you know. That's it, I think, right. See, last Wednesday, Gio was going to be confirmed on the Thursday. And I can't say Gio's going to be confirmed on the Thursday, but I thought I'll give everybody a hint, right? Not because it's like, hey, look at me, I'm in the know. It's more some of you are worrying that he's not going to be announced. So I posted up that picture of me in that top, and people are like, oh, you just did that to show that you were in the know and everything. I was like, I mentioned it on the fucking show the day before. You know, how much of a secret was it that I had bought this top? But anyway, I'm sitting on the train, and as I say, I'm wearing this fucking luminous orange top, right? And that blue Rangers top, which is, you know, this season's, it's quite bright, It's quite bright. And I've got my headphones in, and I see a guy absolutely, you know, miraculously drunk, right? He can barely walk, and he's swaying down the train, and he's desperate for a conversation with someone, and I can just fucking tell. And of course, I'm sitting there lit up like, you know, the Tet Offensive, and in this fucking top, and I actually jumped up, put my jacket on, pulled the hood up over it, put my mask on, and sat baking all the way back to go in out, rather than have a conversation with this guy, because I just knew that it was going to be... I don't think we would have discussed Wittgenstein over a game of backgammon.
Not a long conversation about books.
No. And I mean, the thing is, there is no conversation you can have at that point. We were shite the day, though I talk about it. You know, that's basically the conversation you can have.
Yep.
Not that I'm over it.
Or you could get punched in the face.
Or you can get punched in the face. It's the same as what, you know what you need to do? You need to take a jacket with a hood, and the next time something like that happens, put it on. Honestly, it's like a fucking invisibility shield. As soon as you get your hood up and you've got the mask on, people just ignore you. But you know how, I am over it now because we have Gio, and he's so cool and handsome, and he smells really nice. And you know that I always go on that. No, I do. You know, how do you smell when you're wearing a suit? I think it's important, right? Teeth, belt, smell. All things that I look at. Shoes as well. Saturday night, we'll talk about the results that came in, you know, and in our WhatsApp group, we'll sit and we'll, because we're all old and bored, and we all watch Match of the Day on a Saturday night because none of us are out, right? Yeah. So we're going, oh, Match of the Day will be good today. You know, had that Man United. Oh, we haven't talked about, we need to talk about Ollie. So we're watching, you know, for Man United and stuff, and I'm sitting watching it, and then it comes up, Aston Villa, you know, have a new manager, and I was like, you know, I'm over it. And it cuts to the match, Gerrard walking out the tunnel, and I got up and turned my television off, and I thought, I may be not as over this as I perhaps thought I was. Just looking back, the actions do not seem to represent the words, but yeah, Ollie's gunner gone, finally. And it seems
that's amazing quite in keeping... how long he stuck in that job. That's incredible.
Doesn't it seem so in keeping with his weird tenure that on the one hand it felt really sudden, and yet equally you feel like it's been coming for 3.5 years? So bizarre, man. Somebody told me, watch this, you won't believe how bad they are. And I was like, I can't be that bad. And I watched 10-minute highlights of Match of the Day, and I'm like, I was wrong.
They made our defensive problems look just minuscule.
Right.
Well,
at least
our defense didn't cost £250 million.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
For all our problems, our defense cost what, £4 million. Yeah. So
I will say this: Connor Golson this week has taught me a new way to negotiate contracts. How? Why do you want this job? Couldn't be arsed, honestly. Minute for the paycheck.
It's kind of like an interview. It's like, biggest weaknesses you've put honesty. Why is that? Don't ask me stupid fucking questions, you dick.
Yeah.
You know that kind of job. But yeah, I'm kind of old fashioned in that if I've got a new boss coming in, my plan's to try and impress him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Typically.
But you know, the Manchester United job is now available, and I reckon I'd be good at it.
Who are they even gonna? I mean, Zidane, is that?
I don't think he wants it, and his wife.
I don't think so either.
Certainly doesn't want to live in Manchester.
Well, so, and Conte wanted the job, but they waited too goddamn long.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. They're talking about Ralph Rangnick, but he's what 63 now, and he's just signed a deal in Russia. Yep. So that might be kind of quite tricky. Pochettino, I think they kind of quite fancy, but you know, he's at PSG, obviously, and will be on, you know, to get him out his contract you'd assume be pretty costly. And then the names that they keep talking about are Brendan Rodgers and the guy at Ajax, Ten Hag, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's fair enough, but it's I love Manchester United. It must be the best place to work in the whole world, because it's just sort of like, oh guys, I've lost all the gate takings today. Oh, where mm-hmm. I had it in a bag with like a pound sign on the bag, and I remember going for a pee, and when I came back, it's not there, and they would just go, oh, never mind. You know, don't worry about it. It'll turn up. What was the last place you looked? You know, that kind of thing. And it just must be the best place to work in the whole world, because there's no standards. Nobody seems to care. Mm-hmm. You can be abjectly wrong for a job and the whole world can see it, and you can get 3.5 years and £7 million when you get punted. It's just, you know, it's like a lottery win. I want a job at Manchester United, even day.
Maybe they Barry Ferguson, he might be cut out for it. He'd be perfect.
Well, could they tempt him from Alba? I did love when Barry criticised David McCallum, you know, the Rangers B team coach, for his performance on Sunday. That would be the Rangers B team coach who knocked out, checks notes, Alloa.
Three weeks
ago.
The Challenge Cup 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I'll say that for Barry. He will stride confidently into any conversation without any concern whatsoever for having how he looks, how he comes out of it. He just head down. Yep. Goes for it. You've got to admire that.
Remember when he got called up for doing those V sign things? Remember that?
Oh yeah.
That. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
That. Let's do that.
Funnily enough, one of our new podders, Rob Shorthouse, he was the SFA Director of Communications during V-Gate. So he's got some fantastic stories about that, and Rob's now podding for us. It's turned out that Rob's career, he has so far worked for the Scottish Football Association, the Labour Party, and ScotRail, who run the trains in Scotland.
Right.
I'm beginning to reverse him as Sadim, because he's got a reverse Midas touch.
So I was going to say, are you sure you want him around? Because this is the end of Hard in Hand right here.
Yeah, but he's on the Ali Show.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that does seem quite appropriate somehow. But he said he does say actually that it's quite amusing that he gets more abuse for ScotRail than he does for the SFA.
Sure,
which
he does.
Probably. But I can't help it, right? Maybe because I'm a non-driver, right?
Sure.
That I use public transport a lot, and I much prefer trains to buses, because fuck me, man, buses are basically open air asylums, right?
Right.
They're just, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, the people that you get on those. So I much prefer take the train. I live close to the train station. We're a junction station. There's 5 trains out of Glasgow, which is the only place I ever go. So all good, right? All great. I have a long fuse. I really do, right? It takes a lot to get me to lose my temper. Mm-hmm. I didn't even lose it during Record Gate. Got angry, but I didn't completely lose it. Not once, right?
So lucid.
Yeah, it's nice and calm, and, you know, I just have a long fuse.
It's honorable.
Except.
Because I know I would be screaming from the toilet. Like, that would be my response.
I just, you know, I was like, right, okay, we need to fix this. And if we can't fix it, we need to fight these fuckers. Right. And if, you know, we might not win. But it's the old thing of, if you're getting attacked by 4 guys, one of them's getting a key in the eye. You're not going to win, but one of them is going away. So anyway, right, I'm pretty calm. Something bad happens in the house, I deal with it. Something, you know, no problem at all. If a train is 2 minutes late, I am a fucking mushroom cloud. And I'll actually stand there and see so much that I begin to sweat. Right? That is not fucking normal. And it's like, you useless fuckers, you can't fucking get a fucking train on the fucking time you fucking said you would. And it's not helped by the fact that ScotRail staff, and apologies to any of our listeners of ScotRail staff, they sort of treat you like, you know, excuse me, can you tell me why your train's late? No idea. Right. Will there be one along in a minute? Couldn't tell you, mate.
See, that's you got to be like us over here and just don't have public transport at all.
Yeah.
You know? It's great.
That actually happened to me Saturday or Friday coming into the city. because, first of all, I would love to see David on the Toronto Transit Commission, just to see the amount of blood on the wall that would be spread at Spadina Station as he goes full John Wick sans puppy. I'm ready to get my train, and I had scheduled my first dental appointment in 2 years, finally getting a cleaning because my dentist is still in Toronto because I couldn't be arsed to find one here. He's good. I trust him. So everything was in play. I was going to get in Toronto in plenty of time to get there. 8:45 is the train's supposed to leave. I get a text message going, train's going to be late an hour. So I'm like, fuck. Okay, well, I'll just finish slowly getting ready, and I will call the dentist when they're open, which is in a few minutes, to tell them I'm no longer coming and bill me for the late fee of cancellation and blah, blah, blah. Then, you know, I'm just kind of going about my day, relaxing into it now because I got an hour. A little pissed, but I'm just like, okay, now I can have a coffee and proper breakfast. Nope, get a text message again. Nope, we're back on for 8:45. I'm like, how the fuck does that happen? Like, how did you lose and gain an hour? Like, did you just finally do your clocks for daylight savings? Is that what happened? So now I'm like, fuck, now I got to get the car, and I run down there, and they announce the train, and I had forgotten to get my sticker that says my vaccination's been checked. So I'm like, fuck, I got to get in this line. Everyone's pouring out of the station. So I'm like, come on, come on, come on, let's do this thing. They announce the train is coming. And it's one of those automated messages. The next train to Toronto is showing up online. We only have one line. So it's fine. Immediately, as soon as that's done, the guy on the phone goes, yeah, it's 20 minutes late. Don't worry about it. It's like, ah, fuck me. So now I'm like, am I going to make it? But thankfully the TTC was like right there. I just happened to grab one of these things where, like, as soon as I get down to the track level, subway's right there. That never happens for me. So I was like, holy shit. Made it on time. That's all I'm saying. Long story short, made it to my dentist on time. Had lunch at 3 because I had fluoride. That's right. That's high points of the day.
There we go. Let's do questions because I'm hurting.
You're hurting, and I'm talking about dental appointments. Oh, get us God. The fuck out of this.
Jesus Christ. Blues and Two says, Barry Ferguson, don't discuss.
Nope.
Done.
There you go. Sorry, I think we might have breached it, but we apologize. You were right. We were wrong.
Yeah. Blues and Two's great avatar, by the way. Love it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Neil Buchanan, after Sunday's lethargic shit show, which new item should Castor add to the match day range? Slippers, lounge jacket, or a sleeping bag?
I would quite like them to put a very tempting, attractive, well-presented plate of food so that they might get their hunger back.
Well, see, we can't do slippers because we'd have to sit around and talk about why they're the wrong kind of footwear for a couple weeks.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I do like sleeping bag. If for no other reason, he put in a screen grab of ZZ Top's sleeping bag video. and the reason I like that is because apparently it was the Afterburner album by ZZ Top that made Alan Jorgensen of Ministry go to the Wax Track Studios, drag his Fairlight, which they used on that album, into the parking lot, and he ran over it with a Mack truck. And then the next album was The Land of Rape and Honey, named after a small town in Saskatchewan.
I always liked the Butthole Surfer album title, Hairway to Steven, which I thought was just, you know, I mean, it's daft, but daft, but they're called the fucking Butthole Surfers, for Christ's sake. So, you know, what am I expecting?
Oh, there's also 668, The Neighbor of the Beast by My Dog Popper.
I saw a Canadian comedian, what's he say, Mike something, big guy, blonde hair. About 10 years ago. Anyway, it was very, very funny. But he said his phone number is 667 because in Canada we're the neighbor of the beast.
Right. Yeah. Shit. I'll see if I can come up with the guy's name. I think I know who you mean.
He's very funny. He did a lot in the UK about 10 years ago. I think it's Mike, as I say, big guy, kind of blonde, sandy hair. He was very good. He also had, there was another Canadian on the bill, I always remember this, and his name was Craig something, and he came on and he said, he said, I love playing Scotland because I literally cannot walk anywhere without being told that I say my name incorrectly.
Right.
And he said he actually had a full-blown argument with a girl in Starbucks because she said name and he went Craig, and she put quite correctly C-R-E-G on his cup, and he went, no, it's spelled C-R-I-A-G. She went, no, that's mm-hmm. Craig. You said Craig. And he went, oh, that's how it's pronounced. And yeah. he said, she just looked at me with withering contempt and mm-hmm. said, I think I know how the name Craig is pronounced.
Yeah. I think you mean Mike Wilmot.
I do. Well done.
Yes. And good friend of mine. I love him because I'm a 52-year-old man, and just because he happens to be slightly older than me, every time he sees me, he just goes, hello, lad.
He is, if anybody gets a chance to see him, go and see. He's a very funny man.
He is the best. Yes. He is a god over here.
See, Ian Henry. Oh, God. Ian Henry wants a fucking shit. I can't talk. God. Uh-huh. I'm so stuffed up, too. That's one of the, you know, because it's all there.
You're normally so healthy as well. That's must
yeah,
be
I know.
It's true.
Yeah. What's the worst record? Guns N' Roses, Chinese Democracy, or Rangers' recent record at Hampden?
a fine pick, incidentally.
Both have deep tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go the next time I have it because I blame me for it. I must be a fucking jinx. So I'll take one for the team and I'll just watch.
It's your fucking underwear.
I mean, I had the underwear right. No, can't be blamed. I had matching underwear. I had to buy, because I was wearing that orange top and, you know, the orange scarf and hat, I had to buy blue and orange trainers, blue and orange socks, and blue and orange underpants. And it was not easy to do that. And I managed it. And, you know, see if Rangers had put in the same preparation to the fucking defensive line that I put into my underwear. You know, I had a better organized, you know, pubic line than they had a defensive line. And that can't be acceptable. But honest to God, and it was just, you know, I'm not even going to get into it again. But fuck!
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
At least you can get punched in the face.
No. That is true.
There you go. Grandma Snow, will the Daily Record use the name of the dog in the Dam Busters and simply claim it's okay as that's his name?
Yeah. Basically, what they did. Yeah, what they did. And well, it was his nickname.
Was it McDermott?
It was McDermott, yeah. What was particularly bad? I mean, look, I know Scott, right? And he wouldn't have meant it. He genuinely wouldn't have meant it. But it is that sort of cultural thing. And then, of course, you get our fans who go, some of our fans, not all, who go, oh, it's not racist at all. It was his nickname. And you're like, yes. And unfortunately, it was racist. But the reason it is that Mowgli is a small Indian boy, the character, and Giovanni is Dutch of Indonesian extraction. Therefore, what you are saying is they all look the same. Yep. And somebody went, well, is it about like saying that Mr. Bean looks like Shota? And I'm like, no, because they're both white men. See how this works.
Yeah.
Right. Had he been Indian and had a straw, and he looks fuck all like Mowgli, by the way. It's not literally only that they've got brown skin. Mm-hmm. It's the reason, by the way, I don't think this is a major crime, right? I don't want, you know, people shot out of a cannon for it. But again, this is a newspaper who wanted me arrested because I used the word beggars to describe Celtic fans in 2010.
Yep. Yeah.
So ergo, yes, I do think they should err on the side of caution.
No, just don't back down.
Yeah.
Double down.
Gavin wants to know who lost to hunger quicker, this Ranger squad or Bobby Sands?
I knew where that was going. I was like, please don't let it go there. Yeah.
That's telegraphed.
Yep. Can I just say to any, well, he didn't lose the hunger, you would have assumed.
Mm-hmm. Nine things that age poorly about Bobby Sands' hunger.
I actually remember they brought a movie out about it, and I was like, what? And somebody said, oh, yeah, it's somebody at uni, obviously, but it was very powerful. And I was like, how much plot is there? I don't want any. A guy goes, I don't want anything to eat for like 3 months. It's, you know, how exciting is that? Every day a bloke comes in with some food and goes, you want it? And he goes, no. The guy goes, all right then. All right. And fucks off. I said, that's not an entertaining like, movie.
There could be plot twists. Like you go, do you want food? Is that a chicken parm? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would just like to point out to anyone listening to this, before I get arrested for anything that I've said on the show today, that was Shane and he got punched in the eye. So come on, you know, be human. Be human.
Ian asked, what's the worst thing you've ever done that you're willing to admit on a podcast? I think I'm going to refer back to David's previous statement of don't relay crimes to thousands of people on the internet. So,
I've done some fucking horrendous things in my life. I'm a fucking on air, you know, Jesus Christ. You know, I did just admit to accidentally kicking my wife in the FUD, so that might be that might be up there. But
I associated with mobsters, so
you've got a gun in your house belonging to a mobster. So
well, it's just a box, and I don't level with you. It kind of stinks.
Yeah, of cordite. Everybody in the life, this is one of the things that I always think about, you know, kind of Twitter witch hunts and stuff. And you're like, just take a second person to step back and go, what's the worst thing you've ever done in your life? Right. And be honest with yourself and then come back and judge somebody because they used a naughty word. Right. And I think that the worst thing you've done in your life will pale into insignificance, as it does for most of us, because newsflash, humans kind of cunty.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, Alex wants to know, he's got the COVID, sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Alex,
but he wants some 80s and 90s movie suggestions, so I would start with a Police Academy 6.
That's just pissing on a classic, is that? I do too, if that helps. So, you know, as you know, I love 80s and 90s crap movies. If you're going 80s and you want real 80s, you've got to go Police Academy, Short Circuit, Ferris Bueller, all the top ones.
Speaking of Ferris Bueller, I was just listening to a podcast with Alan Ruck, who played Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
And did not realize that, first of all, Ferris Bueller in Ferris Bueller's Day Off was 24.
Yeah, he was 28.
He was 30.
Fuck.
When it came out, he was fucking 30. But yeah, definitely watch that movie. Watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And if you can find it, I would also say this one is so weird, but I just love it to pieces. Running Scared.
Oh yeah.
Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Fantastic. It's Billy Crystal doing peak Billy Crystal, impersonating people that are in the movie. It's got Nick Tortelli from Cheers, the actor that I can never remember his name, so I always just say Nick Tortelli, and everyone knows what I mean.
Yeah. No.
What are you guys gonna do? Open a bar? It's great.
90s films. Can I just have a shout out for two Kelsey Grammer movies that I absolutely love? Down Periscope, which, as you know, I absolutely love Down Periscope. It is a fantastic movie. And the other one, believe it or not, the title of this movie has changed a few times, but it's on YouTube. If you search for The Battle Over Bradley, it's about a tank. It's got Elwes, is that how you pronounce it? Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got him and Kelsey Grammer in it. 1998, I think, and it's a kind of satire, but it's a true story about this tank that they started designing in 1967 for the Vietnam War, and because they kept adding things to it, right, you know, the military, that it never actually was built, but they kept going back to get the funding for it every year. And it was like, genuinely, it was like 1992 before this, the guy Carrie always plays, managed to get this project cancelled after 25 years and something like, you know, $100 billion to get this fucking tank built. And it's about all the things, and it's slightly exaggerated, but it's, you know, I've read the book about it, and it kind of is true, like doing dummy tests of it to make sure that it works, and, you know, persuading congressmen. They were like, well, you saw it work. And it would turn out that they didn't shoot the target. The target had a bomb on it that was blown up at the appropriate time to make it look like this tank had. And it was basically what they were doing by the end was putting, you know, like a Volkswagen Beetle. They were putting fucking like tank sides and a turret on top of this and driving about and going, look how smooth this is. You know, it was a fucking car.
The F-35 is the same fucking kind of thing. The platform that nobody wanted isn't useful, but we've got to keep it for 30 years now.
And some of the ideas they had, they were like, well, can we have portholes in the tank so that the guys can see out of it? Like, well, no, we can't because they'll get shot through those. And they're like, well, it would need to be a good shot, so just put some portholes in it. And they're like, but it doesn't need to be a good shot because they have submachine guns, so there'll be literally hundreds of bullets, and the chances are one of them will hit the glass and go through. And they were like, no, do that. It was just brilliant. Right, okay, wouldn't it be good if we could also use it as a people carrier? Well, if we use it as a people carrier, then we need to reduce the armor or it'll be too heavy to move. Yeah, do that. If we reduce the armor, a bomb hitting it will blow it up. And they're like, yeah, we'll reduce it even further, then it'll be even quicker and a bomb won't hit it. You know, it's just the most ludicrous. But there's a book on it that's mentioned at film. This film's on YouTube, folks. Just search for it. Kelsey Grammer Carrier was Bradley Tank, and it will come up. And it's an hour and a half. It's great. It's funny. But it also, there's a book about it, which is the true story. And it's not that far removed. They didn't have to exaggerate too much of it for the movie.
Well, there's so much. I mean, every military project in the U.S. is rife with that kind of shit, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at even some of the good stuff. Like, the U-2 is amazing, but it's the most ridiculous plane. Fucking, like, you have to fly it at the exact perfect speed, so either the wings wouldn't fall off or it wouldn't stall. There was like a 12-mile-per-hour window in which you had to fly that plane.
The new I've just checked. The new title of it is The Pentagon Wars, because it got retitled from its original title. So if you search YouTube for The Pentagon Wars, it's there. It's free. Watch it. You'll enjoy it. Right. And if you like Kelsey Grammer, you will love it.
Right.
Oh, fuck it. I can't. I gotta go ISIS. I'm hurting.
Don't say ISIS.
You're gonna go join ISIS. I know you've had a rough week. Jesus. I know you've had a rough week, but don't be taken in by the seductive propaganda, Shane.
How lazy days are they having at ISIS headquarters right now, where they just like all they got to do is like, okay, January 5th, we got to get ready to attack the U.S. And then just one guy is like watching YouTube going, hang on a second. I think something's happening tomorrow. Oh, yeah, the 6th. Yeah. They got this. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's kind of like, you know, the every year the South kind of puts off rising again.
Right.
You know, they've been planning it since 1865, but you know, weather's nice down there. Christmas is now coming up. You know, we'll do it next year.
Yeah, I got a busy afternoon. I got to head outside and wait for JFK Jr. to come back. So
of course.
That's a long haul.
And I'm storming the Capitol.
Attaboy. Make sure you take deer horns. Make sure you do that. Yeah.
Oh, you think I'm going to turn up improperly dressed?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I've got my deer horns and my big furry suit ready. I always wear that when I go illegally storming buildings.
Mm-hmm.
let's see. Onion headline of the week. Texas bans access to tall staircases in case women with unwanted pregnancies get any ideas. Fuck's sake. Oh, God.
That's
brutal. That's good. Oh, damn it.
Are the writers back? It sounds like they are.
I didn't do any of the sponsors. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm clearly fucking off of it. I know John Fraser's sponsored, so there we go. Thank you, John. Go to CopelandStreetwear.co.uk. Get your stuff ordered before Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm going to go put the bag of peas on my face, I think.
Attaboy.
So
I'm glad you ended that sentence with of peas.
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell. Todd, what is stuff?
And now we go to Todd. Hi, Shane. We're down to the short strokes right now of the month of November, which is crazy. Tuesday through Sunday, if you're in Ottawa, I will be at Absolute Comedy. Shows are at absolutecomedy.ca. You can just look there for the Ottawa Club. Thank you all so much.
Yep. And of course, Todd on Twitter at Hey It's TVA.
Oh yeah.
David, you can find that everything Airbox rocks and we're heart and hand. Fuck me. I can't talk. Jesus Christ.
No, you've done well. You've done really well.
That's admirable here.
I want some sympathy for our boy folks, right? Enough of this fucking, you know, enough of this nonsense, right? I want you all to go and offer him a cuddle, a virtual cuddle, on, especially because he's got jail time coming up, as you heard earlier. So, you know, let's make his last few days of liberation, of liberty, sorry. Usual stuff on Heart and Hand. Colin assures me that we have launched some more tat. So if you're the kind of guy who likes shite with our logo on it, then if you go to heartandhand.co.uk/shop, apparently we've got a new range of Dutch inspired. I think you know the colours involved.
Mm-hmm. Can you recap that, please? What is that?
Yeah. Basically, there's a lot of kind of tangerine coloured shite on our website now. So if you need a keyring that, you know, if you're going to drive by the Daily Record and you want to wear a T-shirt that will hurt the feelings, then go to Arnold. And you, again, as we always say, you will not be. I've told Colin he can keep the money that he makes from the merchandising. So it's not me that's getting the money for this.
Beautiful. Yeah, there we go. Happy 9 years. Thanks for listening all this time. Happy Thanksgiving if you're over here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to get through the week without being assaulted. So there we go. Results questionable. We'll find out. So, but we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll see you all then.
Some people call me the space cowboy.